Our scripture today is Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and him and dine with him, and he with me.
Just a second here. I just needed to write down something real quick. You know, when you receive a phone call on Sabbath morning from the pastor, it's usually a little scary. But this morning I had to call someone and say that his church family loves him. Bill Scheel was given a diagnosis that none of us wants to hear. And he asked me to share with you as his church family that they've given him about a week to live. And so I think it's time for our church to reach out to him and love him the best way we can. We'll let you know how we can get a hold of him, how you can call him. We have his phone number. We also will be receiving information on where he will be going for hospice. But I want you to know that he has a heart of gold right now. He loves God and he trusts God no matter what. And he's looking forward to a time where he doesn't have any cancer in his body. Amen. I know that a number of families have been touched by cancer this year and by sickness and even by death. So I just wanted to today talk about sharing a meal together. Or in your bulletin, it's a little bit different than that, but that's the gist of it. Let's eat together. And what it means as a Christian family. Let's bow our heads as we start and open God's word today. Father in heaven, we start this worship hour with a little bit of heavy heart, but also, dear Father, anticipation that you will come soon. And dear Father, we also look at our lives and we realize that we've been touched by so many people. And dear Father, we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for all of the families represented here today and those that are online. Dear Father, we know that we've been through a lot together in just a short amount of time, but we pray that as we search your scriptures today, that you will give us the hope we need. And dear Father, help us to focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you ever sat down with a meal with all of your relatives and you have high expectations and high hopes and somebody forgets to bring the favorite dish that you remember? There's a little bit of letdown, and then there's a little bit of promising, and then there's a, oh, well, maybe the next day I'll cook it or something like that. And when you have that anticipation, when it finally comes and you taste that meal, it's well worth it, is it not? It's wonderful to see those things that we have hold so dear to us, especially on this Thanksgiving season. No matter where you stand, what you are about, it's always nice to get together with your family. But wouldn't it look interesting if you got together for a meal and all of a sudden out of this time that you spent together eating, something great came out of it? Like for some people, it would be a plan for the future and knowing what you're going to do with your life. Wouldn't that be neat to go in and have a meal and at the end of the meal, after talking to people, you knew exactly where you're going in life? How many of you would love that? And yes, it's us older ones too, yes. Wouldn't it be amazing if we went into a meal and all of a sudden the creativity and the talking and the friendship and the camaraderie all of a sudden produced something that was just amazing? I mean, we look at some of the movies and things that were created and it came on a napkin. If you've looked at some of the things that, and you can agree or disagree with the movie, but like Toy Story or things like that started on a napkin at a meal. Some of the greatest things that were ever planned for evangelism have been planned on a napkin. Sometimes I want to invest in napkins. And for those of you who are from overseas, it's a serviette. Because if I call it the other thing, it might sound like a diaper to you. I understand that. But it's amazing to see what happens at the conversation at a table. I can't imagine what it looked like for Jesus and his disciples as they were contemplating what was going to happen next. We'll talk about that one. We'll also talk about a few others in the Bible, just two others, and then we'll talk about us, what it means for us. Turn in your Bibles to that text that we started with today, Revelation chapter 3. And it was, I think, 20. Yes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. How many of you have had a knock on your door and you didn't know who it was? Sometimes you're like, oh, don't go. It's a salesperson. Or it might be somebody else. You don't know who it is. But behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, have you ever knocked on your door and nobody wanted to answer your own door? And you're like, it's me. What does the person on the other side do? Some of you are like, they ran the other way. No, that's not what. Usually when they hear your voice, they're like, oh, it's okay. It's not a bad person. It's not a stranger. That's dad. That's mom. That's uncle. That's whoever. And they open the door. Okay? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I grant to him to sit down with me at my throne. I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I don't know about you, but it would be amazing to sit down and eat a meal with Jesus. I would especially like that today. Because I could ask him, I have a friend that you need to meet. Could you please come heal him? And he'd be like, yes. It'd be amazing to have a conversation with Jesus at this time and date and be like, Jesus, I want to know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I know I'm a pastor, but what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And he wouldn't tell me. I know he wouldn't, because he wants me to discover it. I know I could also ask him, what was it like for you to observe me doing these things back in my old life when I was a younger person? And what was it like planning and scheming how I would meet you even more in depth? Wouldn't it be amazing to have that conversation with Jesus? At what point did you intervene? Wouldn't it be amazing that as you're eating the food, you've come to the realization that as you're eating the food's great and it's wonderful, but you know what? Sitting down and having a meal is never about the food. It's about the fellowship. So every time we have potluck, you know, it's not about the food. There's usually plenty of it. It's not about the potluck. It's about the fellowship. And as we look at some of these stories today, I want to look, first of all, at Acts chapter 2. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the letters to the Acts stories. Give you just a chance to get there. And I'm going to start with verse 43, actually. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all of those that believed were together, and all those that they had in common, they began selling their property and possessions, were sharing them with one another, and anyone that might have need, day by day, continuing with them in one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were saved. Just after Jesus' death and his resurrection, all of a sudden, people are starting to realize what matters in life. They had been on lockdown in the upper room, and after the upper room, the Holy Spirit came because they were in the upper room saying, God, I don't know what to do. And as the Holy Spirit came, they went out of that place and started speaking in their own tongue, but definitely the people heard their own language, no matter where they were from. And as the people heard, 3,000, 5,000, 15,000 joined the church. If you look in the New Testament, you'll find out, especially in Acts, that the way, it was called the way. Daily, people were being added to the way. I think it's part of the way, the truth, and the life. I think that's kind of cool. But can you imagine, all of a sudden tomorrow, we have 3,000 more members than we have today? Think about it. And then in a few weeks, beyond that 3,000, we have another 5,000 members. Those of you who are in leadership, I'm not going to ask you, but how many of you would quit? You know how many we would need? This would be just a team that would be leadership in the church. And to tell everybody about Jesus and to tell everybody about the teachings of Jesus, it would be a wild ride, would it not, for all of a sudden 3,000 to 5,000 people join in a week. And you're like, oh, praise God, but how in the world are we going to do that? We'll have 5 services here. The pastor's going to be dead at the end of the weekend. But it's okay. But it all started with meals and talking about Jesus. It's an amazing thing this time of year to realize that we just had Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is a time of unity. Thanksgiving is a time of helping those who need help. In fact, if you look at the original story, it may or may not have happened exactly how they said, but it's amazing the real story that happened. A person that used to be a slave came and helped the people that were dying. Fed them, helped them grow things that they could not grow. It's an amazing story. It's a story of hope. And those that try to destroy that, I think they need to see the hope of a person that had nothing. Once you share a meal with somebody, isn't there something that you feel connected to the person? I mean, how many of you have ever gone to a strange church and you were invited to somebody's house and you did not know them, but after the afternoon is over and the evening starts, you feel like you know that person, and every time you're in town, guess who you go see? That family, because they started to become more than just a familiar person. It's like that with the disciples and everybody that was meeting after Jesus had risen from the grave. They all started to meet with one another and eat with one another, go to the temple, that means go to worship services, and they all started to be in one accord. It's not a Honda, it is one accord, that means they were one in spirit and mind. As they were doing this, it was an amazing thing to see that people wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to be a part of it because the message was a message of hope. How many of you think we need a message of hope in the time we live in? Yes, amen. It wouldn't be so hard if we could just go out and tell everybody that there was hope and people would believe us. But the time that we live in, if you tell people hope, they'll be like, yeah, right, what's your catch? We want you to come to our church. Yeah, and pay tithe. I see how it is. Yeah, I see how you're, I know. No, we want you to join our family. We want you to join our family. In our family, we pray together, we play together, we cry together, we support one another, and we lift one another up. We do all kinds of things together, and you see that in the early church. You see them doing almost everything together. It's an amazing, beautiful short story about a meal that was shared. It was the birth of the way. Can you imagine the excitement of those early potlucks? Can you imagine the words that went out of the people when they spread the message of the new message of hope? Can you imagine looking at the volunteers that are going out through the countryside and the conversations that they had as they were picking who's going to be the missionary to this country? Who's going to be the missionary to this province? Who's going to be the missionary to this? And the volunteers were like this, I'm going and we're going to do it. I wonder what happened a few months later. I think I know because I know the letters of Paul and I know the letters of some of the other disciples encouraging the ones that were spreading the message. It's an amazing story because we tell it today. Now, I would like to back up just a little bit. Let's back up to Matthew chapter 26. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to start with verse 26. This is talking about the Last Supper, the Passover, all in one. I'm going to back up actually to 20. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples, As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Not exactly dinner conversation, but apparently they ate a lot because they were laying down, but I think that was their practice then. Being deeply grieved, they each began to say to one another, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered and he said, "The one who is dipping his hand with me in the bowl, that's the one that will betray me." Can you imagine if he had more than one person dipping? Can you imagine if it was only you? I don't know how it went down, but I do know that they pretty much knew who it was. "The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to the man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It will be good for that man if he had not been born." Imagine Judas. And Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And Jesus said to him, "You've said it yourself. You are the one." While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave it thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of my covenant, which I poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now until when I drink in the new with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Can you imagine having this conversation with your friends? Can you imagine having this wound that is right in front of you and then offering salvation to everyone, including the one that's running out of the room at the time, and saying, "Guess what? There's a plan. And you know what? It came together a long time ago, and now it's going to take place, and none of you are ready for it. None of you are ready for me to sacrifice my life, because most of you thought that I was going to overthrow Rome and I was going to throw off tyranny. You thought that I was a political head, and I am not. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The dynamics that hit the disciples at that time were blowing their minds, and yet we still remember that meal, don't we? We still remember that meal because they told of that meal over and over again. And he says, "Remember to do this, and as often as you do it, remember what I'm about to do." And we do, we remember. But sometimes we remember the wrong story. We remember the death and the burial of Jesus Christ when we should be talking about the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ overcame death. He overcame everything that we have faced in principle. It was a rescue meal. It was a meal that was a reminder and a pointing forward to the everlasting hope that they had. But the conversation that they had that day is, who's the greatest? Have you ever had one of those relatives? I know everybody, every family has it. Maybe you're the person, I don't know. Maybe I'm the person. Who's the greatest among all the family members? And they go on telling about their story and everybody's like, oh, not that story again. But when family gets together, we don't care. We listen to the story anyhow because they're family. And we start to talk about the things, and you know, when that person goes missing, we all of a sudden start missing that person because we miss them. We don't care what they said. We love them. And it's amazing to see that when Jesus was disappearing from this group of people because he sacrificed his life, he was resurrected, all of a sudden the disciples started talking about all the things that they had ignored the whole time Jesus was teaching. How many of you have paid attention to something and then all of a sudden it became really important and you tried to remember? Me! And then you're like, oh, okay, I got to remember the details now. And you're like, oh, no. Come on back. And you're trying to remember, and then it pops into your head, and you're like, oh, yes. And then you start sharing with people, and people correct you because, you know, there's little things that are wrong. But it's amazing what happens when you see that someone is missing and something is missing. And in this case, it was not missing forever, but he was resurrected, and everybody had to tell the story. In fact, if you were not even believing in Jesus, not even believing him at all, and you're a Roman soldier that was posted at the gravesite of Jesus Christ, what would your story look like? People would think you're insane. I was standing guard, and it was kind of dull and boring because it's nighttime. And all of a sudden, with the first crack of dawn almost, the sun, I thought, came up immediately, and then the stone was rolled away, and that guy came out of the tomb, and he was alive. Can you imagine everybody listening to him? Yeah, you've lost it. No, it's real. It's real. I don't care what anybody told you. I was told to be quiet. I was given some money, but I can't keep quiet. That's crazy. If somebody came out of the grave and they're alive, that is crazy. I got to get to know this person because that's just insane. That doesn't happen. I mean, we pray to all these gods and they don't do much for us, but this guy, he came out of the grave. No one does that. So even people that didn't know Jesus were witnessing that day. And as they ate their meal, it's amazing that they had to look forward to this and didn't even know what they were going to look forward to. They were too busy talking about who's the greatest. What's in a meal? I thought about that this week. I all of a sudden thought about all the food, and now I know it's 11:45 and everybody's getting hungry. So I'm not going to talk about the food. But what I'm going to talk about is kind of the structure of what we do. We have prayer usually to bless the food. We eat, we drink, we catch up, we share, and then we encourage one another. The church is kind of like that. The prayer that we have is a prayer of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit as a church family. We need him to come and be present. That's basically what we're asking for when we ask God to be present. We want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We want God to listen to us, and we want to be open to God, and we want to listen to him. And as his family, it's really neat to have those prayers, and I think it's wonderful, the prayer ministry that we have. I think we as a church need to pray like we've never prayed before because we don't live in times like we have ever lived in before. The Holy Spirit is needed to come and to speak not only to our hearts, but to soften the hearts of the ones that are going to hear the story of Jesus when you share it. Number two, we eat. I need to learn a lot of things about the Bible. And if we take this as a spiritual matter, we need to eat and chew on God's word a lot. And we also need real substance, you know, sustenance too. Some of you teenagers need it almost 2 hours. Every 2 hours, you need to eat. I know, I understand that. And some of you are like, well, I never grew out of my teenage years, apparently, because that's just how it goes. But we need nourishment. We need things that give us something that we can grow on. And that's what it is to eat God's word and also to have the ability to grow as a Christian. The same one as drinking, too. We need to be met by the things that our needs are to be met by drinking in the things that are good for us that food cannot give us, minerals and vitamins and things like that. So it's kind of like the Holy Spirit and God's word working hand in hand. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can fill those gaps that are there. And we need to have him talk to us and give us the ability to search the scriptures and find what we're looking for. And then catching up. How many of you would love to catch up with people that you haven't seen in 2 years? You know, that's possible. I left my phone in my office because I don't like it ringing now and then because I have friends that forget that I'm preaching up front. But when you look at the list of people that you get a hold of all the time, it's kind of a small list. But it would be neat to, if you haven't seen somebody here in a year or two, to call them up and say, you know what? I'm sorry. We haven't talked to you in a long time, but we do care. And just want to catch up with you. And what do we usually do? We talk about all kinds of things. And before you know it, an hour has passed on the phone, right? Some of you that are not social like that, you'd be like, an hour? What would you talk about for an hour? But you know what? When you're trying to catch up with someone, especially a friend that you've had in a long time, if you just see them after many, many years, you catch up really fast, and it's amazing. So what would it be like to catch up with God? Some of you have been to the point where, you know, you may not have been really tight with God this whole time. Maybe it's time to reconnect up with him, and maybe it's time to catch up and see, hey, God, you know, I'm not where I want to be, but I need your encouragement right now. I need to encourage others, and please, let's catch up, God, because you've already watched me do all this stuff, but I need to catch up and talk to you. And then the second one is kind of close to that. It's sharing. When you're learning something new, it's good to share with others because it's exciting. How many of you have ever received a gift, a brand new gift from someone, and you just had to share what it was? You had to show it off to everyone. In school, we used to call it show and tell. Remember that? It's like, ooh, look what I have, or look what I got. But you know, when you learn something new, it's really important for you to share that because it cements in your head. It's a learning process that is awesome. When you repeat it to someone else, it solidifies in your own mind, and it becomes something so real. So that's what I like to say, the sharing time is when we catch up, then we start sharing with one another the things that we know, the things that we've experienced, and it gives us all, the last one, encouragement. We encourage one another. We make sure that those around us are encouraged, and those that fall and those that are hurting know that they are cared about. It's really important as a church family to do that, because if we have one person that doesn't know that they're cared about and loved, I feel like a failure, because I want them to know that they are loved and there's love and concern for them. And then I know that encouragement is not just the pastor giving Bible studies, but it's people helping the helpless, teaching the young, serving meals to people that can't fend for themselves. And it's also ones that don't know about the Bible and God, that we share that God is a real God. That's what encouragement is. And so a church family is, we are looking at what a meal might look like. It would be kind of cool to get together as a family and have that discussion. In fact, in 3 weeks, we will have that discussion. We'll have a whiteboard and everything, but I think we need to cover a few topics before then. We need to find out who we are, and we need to find out who I am. Not me, the pastor, but you. We need to find those two things out. Otherwise, we can't look into the future. Now, I know some of you eat turkey. Some of you do not eat turkey. That's not the point of this slide. The point of this slide is looking, and you see the familiarity with this. Do you not? I don't know what was served on that first day. It was probably seafood, and it probably was deer and all kinds of stuff. It probably didn't include turkey. It may have been a pheasant. That was much later. It would have been a grouse or something like that. But it's not the meal that we're looking at here. What's involved in this? Some of you are like, or some of you are like, I never want to see a turkey again until next year. Depends on how much you've eaten so far. What's involved in this picture?
Family.
Mm-hmm. And what's the family doing? Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of anticipation in one of their faces. The other one's not so sure about this. Maybe they had just become a vegetarian the day before. I don't know. And they're kind of looking at it going, I don't know. Maybe I'll stick with tradition. Maybe I won't. Or you look at, there's a present there. Somebody having a birthday? I don't know. I know that there are some people that had a birthday right on Thanksgiving. I saw that. Oh, what's down on the left-hand side? It looks like one of the senior members of the, I don't know who's down there. I looked at the picture and we can't tell. And this person in the foreground, might be mom, might be grandma, I don't know. But what's everybody focused on? The carving of the turkey, not the turkey. Some of them may be thinking turkey, but I think they're looking at dad and saying, when is it my turn? As I look at pictures like this, I see that everybody's dressed up. I see that everybody is ready for a picture. And I notice that the only happy person here is the one with the food. Notice that? The one that's smiling has the food. The rest of them don't have food yet. What would it look for Jesus Christ to offer salvation, and the ones that get it are happy as can be, and the other ones are anticipating? What would it look like for us to have what we call a meal as a family and invite everybody that we want to invite, and as they are consuming God's word, they become happy just like we are? And I know you're not always happy, but when you hear the message of God, you can't help but smile, because it gives us oh so much hope. We won't think about the poor bird, but anyhow. Many meals were served to people across the nation this last Thursday. Many people ate together. I know we did with a number of family members of the church. All the things that have happened over the last 3 years could be more galvanizing or it could destroy us. We could choose the galvanizing or the unity and look as a church and say, you know what? What has God accomplished through us and what can he accomplish through us? We first have to know who we are individually and as a corporate body also. And corporate body means a unified group of people in Jesus Christ. I don't want to make it a corporation. It's the body of Christ. Individually, we can do a lot of things. We could provide lots of meals and cook a lot of food. But what if we added the church body of believers as a unified group of people, multifaceted and multi-determined, to reach out to the community? What would that look like? I think we can explore this as God was doing with the disciples, because Jesus didn't say, this is what you have to do. He didn't teach that way. You have to do A, B, C, and D. How did he teach? God taught by walking, and his followers followed him. And they observed everything that he did. And then they not only copied that, but they understood the gist of what he was saying. And as we walk with God, we also know the gist of what God is trying to tell us. And we have so many different ways of sharing that with people. It is amazing. You are the most talented people I know. This church is full of people that have so many talents, and so many people can be reached just because of us sharing with them. I think as we explore this, God will walk among us and guide us. December 18, we'd like to talk about this plan, but until then, be thinking, who are we as a church? Who am I as an individual? And then maybe in the future, they'll allow us to have big meals together, and we can all get together and have a celebration and just kind of go from there. Our last story today, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. This is after, behold, I stand at the door and knock. 19, verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. But then I fell at his feet and worshiped him. But he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brother who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Then it talks about the coming of God and Jesus. There is one meal that Jesus has not eaten. There is one festival and one feast that has not been fulfilled. And that is the festival that celebrates his coming. And can you imagine? I was just talking to Sue and the kids and everybody last week. Can you imagine the table that that will have to have? I mean, we were talking about arranging tables, and we were like, what is the table going to look like? Sue, what did you say? You said the table was going to be what? A circle. It was going to be a circle. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how it's going to be, because if it was a straight line, how long would that be? I mean, imagine. You take up about 2 feet, 3 feet, if you have your elbows out to eat, and you multiply that by millions. Could someone pass the potatoes? I don't know if we're going to have cell phones there, but it'd be like, excuse me, are the cranberries in this zip code yet? I mean, look at it. I don't know how that's going to happen. And sometimes we get wrapped up and we think that that's the important part of the meal, but it's not. Jesus is going to be the center of that meal. And when he puts his hands out and he says the blessing, it's going to be silent in all of the universe. Nothing will be making a noise during that time because they want to hear what the Savior has to say. And as he blesses that food, we'll be talking. We won't be talking about all the stuff that's going on, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and the bad things that have happened. We'll be talking about Jesus and what he's done for each one of us. And that meal is going to be the most wonderful meal ever eaten on any planet, because we're going to be able to share with people that have never known sin what it's like to come out of it. We're not going to dwell on the sin. Some of us here on earth, we tend to worship sin and the devil because we talk about him all the time. But at that meal, I don't think the name's going to be mentioned because we're going to be singing God's praises. Because when I meet up with my family and my friends and the ones that have passed away and the ones that I know will pass away soon, we will be praising God because they are there. The story closely resembles the 10 virgins, but it's tied to God and his church and his people. The beauty of the story is the meal that is eaten is by people that know God and who are invited to be a part of the celebration. Imagine if you receive an invitation to that meal and it's hosted by God. What would that mean to you? If all of a sudden today something showed up in your post box, I don't know what it would even look like. Maybe it'd be gold, I don't know. And it says you're invited. But you had to accept the invitation and you had to know who was inviting you. Because what's an invitation without acceptance? So if you've been struggling for years because you think it's your parents' religion, if you've been struggling for years because you know that you're kind of rebelling against anything that you want right now, I mean, anything that everybody wants around you, I invite you to meet my friend Jesus because he's more than you've ever expected. He's more than you can ever imagine, and he's not as restrictive as I have made him out to be. He wants you to be a part of his family. He invited disciples. And if you look at their characters and you see who they are and you say that you're unsavable, you're nuts. Because the disciples were crazy. And the disciples did not have worthiness at all. But God called them because he knew that he wanted friends for eternity. We're able to look at these stories and we see these meals and we're able to look and see that as these things are taking place, that when the marriage supper of the Lamb comes, it's going to be the thing that unites all of us. Wouldn't it be great to talk around that table? What would you talk about? Excuse me, can I try that fruit that nobody's ever seen before? Oh, this is wonderful. Well, that reminds me. What fruit did Eve eat? No, that's not what we're going to ask. I'm going to ask this question. What does the tree of life, what does the fruit taste like? Well, it's right there. Oh. Hmm. It's not a mango. Duh, I thought it was. It's not custard fruit. Oh, I thought it was. You can go down through the list, pear, apple, whatever your favorite is. I don't know what it is. In fact, it may be something we've never seen before. But it won't be the center of our conversation. It'll be the one that gave the fruit. So today, as we leave here and as we contemplate what it's like to share a meal, just think about your Thanksgiving meal and think about what it would be like to eat it with the God of the universe. What would it be like for you and I to understand who God is? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, please bless Bill. Dear Father, it's hard to know why you didn't heal his body. But dear Father, if he is watching, and even if he's not, put your Holy Spirit's arms around him. Also, dear Father, help us to put our arms around him, to call him, to make him known that he is one of us, that we love him. Dear Father, also, there are many others that are suffering, and we don't even know it right now. Help us, dear Father, as a church family, to realize that we have been blessed greatly by you and that we can bless others. Help us, dear Father, as we look to the future and as we figure out who we are as individuals and who we are as a church, that you will give us the blessings we need so that the Holy Spirit can come like tongues of fire on us. Dear Father, as we have shared this holiday experience with family and friends, we pray that you will bless us in a way that we have not been blessed before. Give us, dear Father, the ability to reach the people that we need to reach by just telling your story. In Jesus' name, amen.